Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord. Just say a simple prayer this morning, Father. We thank you for the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, sent it for the forgiveness of our sins, the true reason for the season, Lord. May we be forever grateful in everything we do, and may everything we do bring glory to your name, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the greatest gift of all time, the greatest gift ever, our eternal salvation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we get one more Christmas sermon today. Amen? All right? Amen. All right. No fluff. You know what? Yeah, today is going to be my first no fluff sermon in a long time. Amen. So you got your wish there, Pastor. All right. So my sermon today is the Good Shepherds and the Good News. Amen? The Good Shepherds and the Good News. I picked this text because I wanted to preach on the shepherds. We hear a lot of preaching on Christmas about the wise men and about everything else. But, you know, I thought that we needed to hear something about the Good Shepherds. Amen? So this is a very popular Christmas song by Andy Williams that we often hear on TV commercials and the radio. It says, it's the most wonderful time of the year, right? And my granddaughter's been singing that for like days. So, but it's the most wonderful time of the year. Now, for most of us, it really is. Amen? It really is the most wonderful time of the year, especially for the retailers, right? All the sales they're making, all the money they're making, right? I think we're pretty much back to normal as far as that goes. But Amazon, I know, is doing pretty good, right? That you might say. Amen. But why is it really the most wonderful time of the year? You know, why is it really the most wonderful time of the year? Because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. That is the greatest gift, and that will always be the greatest gift. Now, for us as Christians, the Christmas story of the birth of Jesus Christ is also the most wonderful story ever told. Amen? Most wonderful story ever told. Many believers and even unbelievers are more or less familiar with the story of Mary and Joseph traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem, amen, and how Jesus was born in a stable and laid in a manger because there was no rooms in the inn. There are no rooms anywhere available, right? Now, there are many people in the world who believe that this is a metaphor of people's hearts being too crowded and to have any room for Jesus in their world. Amen. A lot of times, because we're too busy or we just have more important things to do or more important people in our lives, we tend to put Jesus second in our lives. Amen. And sometimes we just don't have room for him. Just as they didn't have room for him at the time of the birth. Amen. So there was one group of people during this time, though, some unsung heroes that I'm going to talk about today. And they had the privilege of seeing both the heavenly angels, the heavenly host of angels, and the newborn king. Amen? And these were the good shepherds of Bethlehem. Now, these good shepherds, they weren't exactly considered. Actually, they were considered unclean because of the jobs that they did. They were considered unclean, and they were not allowed, a lot of times they were not allowed to worship in the temple or attend the religious feast or gathering. God does not discriminate. And he would send a message of hope and wonderful good news to these shepherds, to these good shepherds. So why did God choose these shepherds? Why did God choose these good shepherds? Our first verses say that, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. That was the best picture I could find, but they were terrified. Amen? Now, why does God choose shepherds? Why does God use shepherds? Well, even Jesus was called a good shepherd, right? Jesus was called a good shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. Jacob was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. I think God had a special place in His heart for shepherds. Amen? And but why? If we understand the culture of this time and the role that the shepherds played in this culture, then we would understand that the shepherds, even though they were raising the flocks for the sacrifices, they were the outcasts. The shepherds were the outcasts of the day. And they were lost. They were the outcasts. They were the lost. And they were the sinners. Just like you and me. Just like all of us. And the fact that Jesus chose these shepherds teaches us, first it teaches us that Jesus came for sinners. Jesus came for sinners. And shepherds were considered the outcast and the lost. And when someone had no other options for employment, as a last resort, they would become a shepherd. This was like the equivalent of today of like daily work, daily pay. I was going to say Amazon, but my wife said that wasn't a good idea. So that was for you too, Derek. Amen. But the equivalent of, and my reasoning is, you know, it's easy to get that kind of job. It's easy to get the daily work, daily pay job, okay? And so, in fact, it was forbidden by religious leaders of the time to do business with the shepherds because they were considered thieves and they did business with the Gentiles. So that was another reason they weren't liked. They had a really bad reputation of being no good. And they were on the same level as tax collectors and lepers of the time. It was pretty bad for them. So isn't it ironic that God would choose to reveal Himself to people that were so hated and so outcast in society? And but that's what Jesus came for, right? He came for the outcast. He came for the lost. He came for sinners just like you and just like me. So the shepherds were not chosen by accident, or because they were the only ones around that day, or even because they looked good in the nativity scene. Amen. They were chosen for a reason. Jesus came to use and save those who recognize that they're sinners. Jesus uses those who recognize that they're sinners. And those that admit their weakness, and those that admit that they have a need, right? They have a need for Jesus. They have a need for a Savior. None of us here today are good enough. Not one of us here today are good enough, and none of us are righteous, but none of us here deserve a Savior either. We are all sinners, but the Christmas story is that God came to save sinners. That's the Christmas story. God came to save sinners. God comes because we cannot save ourselves. No matter what we do, we cannot save ourselves. It doesn't matter what our background is. It doesn't matter how many felonies we got. It doesn't matter how educated we are, what our occupation is, if we're rich, if we're poor. We are all sinners in need of God's grace. It's not about what we've done. It's about what He has done for us. That is the true Christmas story. Verse 9 says that an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Does anybody know what that glory, this glory that's shone around them, what the name of it is? Shekinah glory, right? Shekinah glory. The Shekinah glory that appeared in a cloudy pillar by day and night that led the Israelites out of Egypt, right? The same Shekinah glory. Amen? It's the same Shekinah glory that spoke to Moses out of a cloud. That same Shekinah glory. And when the shepherds realized that this was an angel of the Lord, they must have been saying, you must be looking for the Pharisees or some other religious leaders, right? And maybe they said, I think you're in the wrong neighborhood. And they must have been amazed when they realized that God had chosen them to be the recipients of this good news. You see, shepherds were not only hated, but they did not have much time or energy to devote to God. It was like a 24/7 job that they had. And they didn't have time for reading the Bible or even going to church. Shepherds often had already given up on salvation because they were outcasts by all the believers of the day. So they must have been overwhelmed when they realized that God had not made a mistake. God had chosen them on purpose. Sometimes God chooses people who have given up on Him. Sometimes God still chooses people who have given up on Him. And you know, the ones who rarely have time for church or the Bible, the ones who don't want to even talk about Jesus. But we never know when God's going to give us a message of hope, even when we're not looking for it. God hears what we want, but God knows what we need. Amen? God hears everything we want, but He knows what we need. Now remember, they were also terrified, right? Seeing an angel wasn't always a good thing, right? Remember Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Seeing an angel wasn't always a good thing for people. So they were terrified. But their fear would quickly be turned to wonder and joy, and they would quickly see that the message was a message of hope. It was a message of hope. And the message that a Savior had been born on that day. It's a story about accepting good news. And there was a promotion by H&R Block in 2001 that offered all of their walk-in customers a chance to win $1 million. It was a drawing and a chance to win $1 million. And Glenn and Gloria Sims of Sewell, New Jersey won the drawing. They won the drawing. But they refused to believe it. Okay? So when an H&R Block representative phoned them with the good news, after several contacts by phone and mail, the Sims still thought it was just a scam. You know, a lot of times people send you something and say, you won, and you're like, yeah, right, whatever. So they would hang up the phone, they would throw the notices in the trash, and some weeks later, H&R Block called one more time to let the Sims know that the deadline to accept the $1 million prize was nearing, and that their refusal to accept the prize would appear on an upcoming NBC Today show. Amen? So at that point, you know, Mr. Sims decided, I better investigate this a little further, and maybe this is the truth, you know? And so a few days later, Mr. Sims appeared on the Today Show to tell America that he and his wife had finally gone to H&R Block to get their $1 million. Amen? So Mr. Sims' final words were, from the time this has been going on, H&R Block explained to us they really wanted us to have a happy ending, and they were ecstatic that we finally accepted the prize. They were ecstatic that they finally accepted the prize. So God wants a similar ending as He offers salvation to all of us. Amen? He wants that same ending for us, the joyous ending. And so salvation is the gift that keeps on giving. And we need only to accept it. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have won much more than just the drawing or the lottery. We have won eternal life. Eternal life. And we are all entered into that one. Amen? Verse 10 says, but the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. So they're greatly afraid, but the angels offer them comfort that the Savior is close by and that the shepherds did not need to go to the temple in Jerusalem to be near to God. So the shepherds were reminding them and us that God is close by even when we're not here in this building. God is still close by to us. And Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated His love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Whatever we're at, whatever we're doing, Christ still died for you. Christ died for that pill smoker standing out in front of QT. Christ died for that guy I saw on the side of shooting up on the side of Little Caesars. Christ died for you and me. But we must repent. We must believe in this Savior. This is the true reason for the season. The good news is to cause great joy for all people who believe. Great joy for all people who believe. The shepherd's story is a good illustration of the Christian life. You first hear the revelation of the gospel and you believe it. That's the first step. Then you pursue a relationship which brings salvation. Praise God. Amen? And then we go out and spread that good news. Romans 10:10 says, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith, and you are saved." And you are saved. The Scripture says that anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. Anyone will never be put to shame. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 11 says, "Today in the town of David," which was Bethlehem. Bethlehem, and I don't know if everybody knows this, but Bethlehem, did you know that the name Bethlehem means the house of bread? It means the house of bread. Amen. And why was He born in the house of bread? Because Jesus is the bread of life, right? What better place to be born in than the house of bread? Amen. Jesus was the bread of life. So today in the town of David, Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. I seen a Christmas card one time that read, if what the world needed most was buildings, God would have sent an architect. And if what the world needed most was healing, God would have sent a physician. And if what the world needed most was teaching, God would have sent a teacher. But God sent a Savior because that's what the world needed the most. Amen? And I know He was the greatest at all these other things as well, right? But His primary occupation is our Savior. Amen. That's what He came to do. He came to save us. And the name Jesus itself means God is salvation. It means God is salvation, and it means Jehovah saves. So the shepherds are not only reminding us that God is close by, but they also remind us just how much God really loves us and how thoughtful He is in our lives. They would say that today in the town of David, Jesus, the Lamb of God, has been born, and He will take away the sins of the world. I like that picture. Amen. It's a good one. So God uses shepherds who tend the lambs for sacrifices to deliver the message of the ultimate sacrifice. Amen. The Lamb of God, our Savior Jesus Christ. God's people have been waiting a long time for this message at this point. They've been waiting a long time. And since the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah had spoken of this message that was coming. And they waited year after year after year, and the Messiah had not come. But here in the fields outside of this small town of Bethlehem, to humble outcast shepherds, the angel of the Lord appears to them and tells them that God's anointed one has finally come. He has come. These shepherds are probably thinking, how are we going to find this little baby in this town of Bethlehem? The population there at the time was about 1,000. And today it's actually 25,000. So it's still a small town, right? Amen? But isn't it amazing how these cities and these places are still there today? They're still there. This isn't a fairy tale. This is a true story. It's a true story of true places. This is the gospel, and this is Christmas. This Christmas season is meant to remind us of our need of a Savior. That's what it's all about. Our need of a Savior. And it's to show us that God has provided for that need through His Son, Jesus Christ. So how were they to find Jesus in the city of David? How were they to find Jesus in Bethlehem? The angels answer that question next. They say, "There will be a sign to you, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Lying in a manger. So I'm pretty sure the shepherds, or anyone for that matter, would have expected the Savior of the world to be lying in the manger. They wouldn't have expected the Savior of the world to be lying in a manger in a stable, right? They would expect Him to be maybe in a palace, right? Some kind of palace. Or Jesus wasn't laid in a crib, but in a manger. He was laid in a manger. And for those of you that went with us to see that a Christmas special at the movies, they showed the manger, the Chosen Christmas special. They showed the manger, and it's made out of stone, right? Most of us see the mangers that are, we have mangers or whatever. They're all made out of wood, right? With the wood with the straw in them. Well, the real manger was made out of stone. Amen. The real manger was made out of stone, and that's the one that they depicted in the Chosen. And if you research it, it was made out of stone. Amen. So Jesus came not as a king, but as a servant. Not to rule, but to die. And through this death, He would set God's people free. He would set God's people free. Sinclair Ferguson wrote, he said, "The Father who gave His Son to us in the incarnation also gave Him to us for Calvary." The same Son. Galatians 4:4-5 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." And Crossway.org wrote that God sent His Son at the right moment in human history, when God's providential oversight of the events of the world had directed and prepared peoples and nations for the incarnation and the ministry of Christ and for the proclamation of the gospel. In other words, God's timing is always right. Amen. The people at this time were ready. After almost 1,000, after 1,000 years, they were ready for this message. God's timing is always right. The next verses say, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, and peace to those on whom His favor rests.'" Peace to those on whom His favor rests. That's not my picture. So, after the single angel's announcement, a whole group of angels appeared, a heavenly host, a huge group of angels, okay? And they were proclaiming peace, a peace that the world needed then, and a peace that the world definitely needs today. Only God can give us the true peace that we need through the redemption that we receive by the blood of Jesus Christ, who was born in a manger in a little town of Bethlehem. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Even the pagans of the first century world sensed this need that they had for peace and for a Savior. And Epictetus, is that how you say it, Pastor? Epictetus? Epictetus, a first century pagan writer, he expressed this. He said, "While the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of the heart, for which man yearns much more than outward peace. Only because of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, we have the true peace that we need in our hearts. The true peace that's here on earth." So I got this poem called "Peace on Earth." And, oh, there it is. Okay. I made copies of it. They're back there on the table if anybody wants a copy of it. Okay. But I love this poem. It says, "Peace on Earth. Peace on Earth with the world at war. Oh, what were the angels singing for? That faraway night when the stars shone down, with a glorious light on Bethlehem's town. Peace on Earth, they were singing of Him who was born that night to redeem from sin, who still has the power to cleanse and to heal the contrite heart who is willing to kneel. Peace on Earth amid sorrow and loss, yes, peace indeed at the foot of the cross. Peace in a world that is troubled and torn, peace in each heart where the Savior is born. Peace on Earth while the nations rage and history is making its darkest page. Yes, peace on Earth, for its steadfast light is burning in thousands of hearts tonight." Beautiful, right? Beautiful poem for Christmas night. I wish I could have gave that to you guys yesterday. But so the shepherds received their message. They received the message. They received the message, and then what did they do? Next verses say, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger, just as the angel said. So the shepherds obeyed God's command. They obeyed the call of God, right? They obeyed God's command. Is God calling you to do something today? Right? Is God calling us to do something today? Is God calling you to serve? Is He calling you to give? Is He calling you to hope? Are you obeying God's command today when He calls you? Are you putting your hope and your trust in Jesus as your Savior? In my last sermon, I talked about how when things are going wrong in our lives, a lot of times we turn away from God, right? Well, maybe this time of the year is a reminder for all of us that we have a Savior. It's a reminder for all of us that we have a Savior. A reminder for us to stop running from God and start running to God. Amen? Stop running from God and start running to God. Then it says in verse 17, it says, when they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds were ready and willing to share what God had done and what God had said. And may we as a church find the opportunity to do the same thing this Christmas, to share God's word, to share God's peace, and to share God's love. And on this next slide is a picture of just a bunch of different ministries that are out at Chicken Park. And we're out there spreading God's love, right? Spreading God's hope with the homeless people. Amen? And so they just pray over people. Bags of Love is involved in this. Marcella's out there. I think she's out there every week, right? Aren't you guys out there pretty much every week? Yeah, so, and this is what they do. They go out, they spread the gospel, they pray for people, they bring them food, they bring them clothing, they bring them water. That is the Christmas story. That is the gospel. That is what we're called to do. That is God calling us to go out and serve. Amen? And we all can serve in different ways, but this is a beautiful way that they serve. This is spreading God's agape love. So to share the true reason for the season with those who might not yet know Jesus Christ is what Christmas is all about. This Christmas season, don't set your hearts on the perfect gift or the perfect family, but set your hearts on the perfect peace of Jesus Christ. Set your hearts on the perfect peace of Jesus Christ. And share that peace. Share it with everyone. And coming into this new year, 2022, share that peace with everyone you come in contact with. Verse 19 says that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary's reaction was much different than the shepherd's reaction. She calmly took it all in and meditated it over in her heart, trying to understand why God chose her. She's trying to understand why God had chose her. You see, her part was much more than just being a messenger. Her part was to give birth to our Savior. Amen? So she pondered that in her heart. And in verse 20, the last verse says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So this season, may we as a church also glorify and praise God for all the things He's done for us and our families this past year. Amen? He's done so much for us. I know He has blessed our church abundantly. He has answered so many prayers for healing. He has answered so many prayers in this church and just and everywhere. You know, may we praise Him in our worship. May we praise Him in our homes. May we praise Him in the way that we treat and love others. Right? It's another way of praising God and bringing glory to God's name in the way that we act and the way we treat other people. Even our enemies, right? Even our enemies. May everything we do this and every season bring glory to God. So be a good shepherd. Spread the good news. Spread the good news of peace on earth and goodwill to all men that God has given each and every one of us. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. And peace be with you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the peace in our lives, Lord. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for our Savior. May we be forever grateful in everything we do. And may everything we do bring glory to your name, Lord. Use us in a mighty way, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you call us your children. We thank you that you are our Savior, the great physician, our teacher, our provider. We love you, Lord. And we praise you. May you bless Amazing Grace in all of our church members in this upcoming year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Merry Christmas. No fluff. Amen. All fluff today. All fluff.